China and Russia have agreed to set up their first cross-border protection zone for Siberian tigers, the largest living cats in the world. About 500 are known to be left in the wild, only 20 of them in China. And the weather. There'll be more sunshine this afternoon in many places, but cloud in the east will spread west. Showers and strong winds in eastern and southeastern counties will gradually ease. The news and weather on BBC Radio 3 at 1:02 PM. So now it's time for Proms Chamber Music, live from Cadogan Hall in London. It's presented by Catherine Bott.
Welcome to Cadogan Hall for our penultimate Proms Chamber Music recital. Today's performer is the German pianist Lars Vogt, who first came to international attention in 1990 when he was a prize winner at the Leeds International Piano Competition. And I'm sure he'll have captured every listener's imagination last night with his performance of Grieg's Piano Concerto with the Czech Philharmonic over in the Royal Albert Hall. But we've got him here at Cadogan today. And he's going to play music by Schubert, his late sonata in G major, Deutsch number 894, and to begin, Janáček at his most intimate and reflective. In the Mists is one of his last compositions for solo piano, written in 1912, when the composer was feeling isolated, slighted by the public, and in despair of ever seeing his opera Jenufa staged in Prague. Janáček's biographer has suggested that the mists of the title reflect the composer's low spirits rather than actual meteorological conditions. Many of his chamber works have a direct or indirect autobiographical element after all. The work also reflects his lifelong interest in traditional music. Janáček particularly relished the rhythmic asymmetry of Moravian folk music, and he incorporated some of this irregularity into the third movement. Lars Vogt himself has written that stark contrasts dominate the work in spite of its title that suggests more misty colours. Intentionally, the pieces lack warmth almost entirely. Now, to begin his recital with Janáček's In the Mists, we welcome to the platform Lars Vogt.
Thank you.
Lars Vogt played Janáček's late work In the Mists, and I'm delighted to say he's joined me now, microphone in hand, to talk about today's programme. Lars, these are two late works by composers, both of whom must have felt themselves often to be unloved and unsung. It's very hard to escape the biographical element, but surely, as a pianist, you've programmed these late works by Janáček and Schubert. What do they have in common to play?
I do think they have something in common, which is that the soul is under attack, if you will. That there are these peaceful moments, especially in the Schubert that's going to come now. There are long stretches that seem really peaceful, and yet you're never quite safe, and it's never quite true somehow. And then there are incredible outbursts, like we've just heard in the Janáček, which I think are really full of blood and full of anger and, just a soul really under attack, in danger.
And in the late sonatas of Schubert, they're often mistaken for serenity. The moods of a sort of sunny character. But there's a real weariness, isn't there? World weariness as a subtext to some of these works.
It's always ambiguous, and that's the incredible thing that you... In Schubert, it's really delicate to find the line of interpretation, because if you interpret them as completely depressed pieces, that's also not where it leads. It also has these little bits of... Is it hope? Is it a dream of what it could be like? Or is it actually a memory of something actually nice? Or is it just seeing life from far away and not being part of it? So it always has the two sides at the same time in it. That's why I think interpreting Schubert in a way is just as hard as Mozart. He also has this sort of ambiguity all the time.
Well, there is something you can help us with. Schubert's publisher originally issued this sonata we're going to hear under sort of four discrete titles, really, of the four movements, as if they were four separate pieces: Fantasy, Andante, Menuetto, and Allegretto. And I hope it would have pleased Schubert that a little bit after his life, Schumann declared this sonata to be the most perfect of all of Schubert's piano sonatas. And he referred to the title of the first movement and offered us a bit of a threat, really. He wrote, "Let anyone who lacks the fantasy to solve the riddles of the last movement keep away." What did he mean by that?
I find that just one of these wonderful quotes of Schumann, where in sort of one sentence he hits it on the nail, you know, where what the difficulty is. The last movement, when you sort of look at it, it seems that it's just quite joyful dancing. But when you look at the tempo marking, which is Allegretto, it's not very fast. And the dynamics, which are pretty throughout the movement, pianissimo. And then sometimes these incredibly painful outbursts in forte and fortissimo. And that sort of speaks against a sunny and lovely afternoon. So I think there is a constant riddle really in that piece, and it's wonderful that Schumann calls it a riddle. He also doesn't say it's joyful or it's sad or it's just not quite clear. But I think we cannot quite trust the piece, and we don't know whether this sort of piece in this whole sonata is a bit pathological, of sort of the last moment before somebody being depressed attempt suicide, or whether it's really an outlook into what could have been or what should be.
Well, Schumann didn't offer to solve the riddle, and maybe we won't either, but I'm looking forward very much to hearing you play that, all the four movements. Thank you very much, Lars. By the time Schubert wrote his last sonatas, between 1826 and 1828, the form's popularity was a little bit in decline. So it was actually a rather canny move on the part of his publisher to imply that the work we'll hear now might be four individual pieces, because his public was really showing more of a desire for character lollipops. Of all Schubert's piano sonatas, This is one of only three to have been published during his lifetime. So now Lars Vogt plays Schubert's Sonata in G major, Deutsch number 894.
Thank you. Thank you.
Schubert's Sonata in G Major, played by Lars Vogt, ending today's Proms Chamber Music Recital at Cadogan Hall. Well, there's one more to go this season. Next Monday lunchtime at 1 p.m, I'll be introducing Le Poème Harmonique in a programme of 17th century Venetian music, which is going to take us from the streets to the palaces. Meanwhile, Lars Vogt is off to play in Augsburg, and for some more good listening, I'm handing you back to Broadcasting House and Penny Gore.
Catherine Bott at Cadogan Hall here in London. Well, tomorrow our lunchtime concerts return us to the Edinburgh International Festival. We'll be hearing a performance given by one of our former new generation artists, the mezzo Christiana Stottein, with her regular recital partner Josef Beinel. And they'll be performing songs by Richard Strauss and Arnold Schoenberg. That's at the same time, as usual, just after the 1 o'clock news tomorrow. But now, a little more news of a forthcoming prom.
At the BBC Proms this week, there's the last of the season's visiting youth orchestras. Herbert Blomstedt conducts the Gustav Mahler Youth Orchestra in Bruckner's last unfinished symphony and Mahler's youthful song cycle with the lovelorn Wayfaring Lad. And to begin the evening, Hindemith's vivid symphonic picture of a heroic artist. The BBC Proms continue on Wednesday at 7:30 here on BBC Radio 3.
Well, back to this Bank Holiday Monday. It's just coming up to 2:02, and we return to the Proms now for an edited repeat of last Monday's concert. The presenter at the Royal Albert Hall was Martin Handley.
Well, Sweden rules at tonight's BBC Prom with a Swedish orchestra, soloist and composer, but there's some cross-border Scandinavian entente cordiale through our Danish conductor. Welcome to the Royal Albert Hall, where the Swedish Chamber Orchestra will be performing under its chief conductor, Thomas Dausgaard. Their concert begins and ends with more bicentenary celebrations for Robert Schumann, the final work on the programme being his most Beethovenian symphony, the second, a musical account of his journey through depression. Before the symphony, we've the UK premiere of a piece by a composer who cites James McMillan and Thomas Ades among his musical heroes, which sounds promising. And Albert Schnauzer also has Haydn as a source of inspiration. It should all come together in his intriguingly titled A Freak in Burbank, whose subject is a Haydn-esque film director. The first half ends with a groundbreaking orchestral song cycle, Berlioz's setting of poems about lost love and loneliness, his Les Nuits d'été, Summer Nights, in which the soloist is the Swedish soprano Nina Stemmer. And, as I said, the Swedish Chamber Orchestra begins with Schumann as well. The young composer had already decided that someone had to continue on the path forged by Beethoven's symphonies when he damaged his right hand, to the extent he had to abandon any ideas of becoming a concert pianist, and the writing of symphonies became his main concern. The opening movement of his never-to-be-completed Symphony in G Minor was his first orchestral work. He admitted he'd no teacher to help him at the time, and so had worked almost entirely according to my own ideas, and am moreover somewhat distrustful of my symphonic talent. Thomas Dausgaard.
Here was a young Schumann, I think 22 years old, and not over-familiar with the orchestra and the possibilities, but perhaps that's interesting too, because he wasn't in any way inhibited by knowing too much about how to write it. So there's some unusual touches, but what is most striking for me, I think, is the way the music disintegrates. And this is pointing forward to so many other of his works throughout his life, the way you suddenly see down into the darkness. And this is right here in this piece.
Well, the leader of the Swedish Chamber Orchestra, Katarina Andreasen, is already on the platform. She's just tuned the orchestra, and here comes Thomas Dausgaard to conduct the first movement of Schumann's incomplete symphony in G minor, the Zwickau. Schumann's first go at composing something symphonic. The first movement of his incomplete symphony in G minor, Zwickau, performed to open their BBC prom by the Swedish Chamber Orchestra, conducted by Thomas Dowskor. Schumann may have revised that music a couple of times, but what we've just heard in the Royal Albert Hall were his first thoughts, the orchestra using parts prepared from Schumann's original manuscript score. Well, the second symphony, which the Swedish Chamber Orchestra plays at the end of the prom, is the most Beethovenian of Schumann's completed symphony. Young Schumann was a real Beethoven devotee and appalled by how few composers had taken up the challenge of becoming his symphonic successor. The only worthy exception, he felt, was the young Frenchman Berlioz, and it's his music the Swedish Chamber Orchestra plays next with Thomas Dowskor when they're joined by the soprano Nina Stemme for a performance of his song cycle Les Nuits d'été. Berlioz counted several poets among his friends, one of whom was Théophile Gautier, a fellow romantic whose world vision was close to his own, as was his home in Paris. Berlioz was very taken with Gautier's collection called La Comédie de la Mort and set six of the poems, the result a miraculous response to the poet's images of melancholy love, originally written for voice and piano, but when you hear them, you can't imagine Berlioz didn't know he would eventually orchestrate them. Gautier's summing up of his friend's music applies particularly well to this song cycle. He represents the romantic musical idea, the breaking up of old moulds, a complex richness of orchestration, unexpected effects in sound, amorous or melancholy dreaminess, longings and questionings of the soul which escape language but may be divined in music. The opening villanelle is a spring song, a celebration of happy lovers in the countryside. The Spectre de la Rose takes us into the warmth of summer. I am the rose you wore yesterday at the ball. My tomb is your breast, and my epitaph here lies a rose, the envy of kings. The third song, Le Lament sur les Lagunes, strikes an intense note of despair and total loss as the lover sets out bereft on his sea voyage. Absence is the core of the cycle, evoking great longing over unimaginable distance separating the lovers. In Au Cimetière, in a churchyard, the poet is offered no relief from his despair among the ghostly shadows of tombs and yew trees. And finally, the sixth song, L'île inconnue, we emerge into a sunnier world. And if we can't find the land where love lasts forever on our voyage, then at least we're on an exotic journey of the kind Berlioz longed for.
So now, here comes Nina Stemme, followed by Thomas Dowskor, joining the Swedish Chamber Orchestra here at the Royal Albert Hall to perform Berlioz's song cycle, Les Nuits d'été, Summer Nights.